Well, good morning. I join Rick in welcoming you to this Palm Sunday service. I think it was Michael Brendan in the first service that said that he hadn't had fish like that since college, but, you know, we're not going to go there. Let's pray. That's a good transition, right? Let's pray. Gracious God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Open our ears that we would hear your word and follow you in the ways of eternal life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. The scene was the Vienna hospital back in the mid-19th century, and a doctor that I wouldn't suppose that you've ever heard the name of, by the name of Ignatius Semmelweis, a Hungarian physician, made an important discovery. He discovered that pregnant women who were being delivered and tended to by midwives were far less likely to incur puerperal fever, and for that matter, any kind of infection, than the women who were being treated by medical doctors. Now, if it seems odd to you that medical doctors would have a greater incident of infection than following procedures than midwives, then you'd be in the same quandary as Dr. Semmelweis. How is it, he pondered, that women who were treated by doctors in birth were more likely to get sick than women who were treated by midwives? And Dr. Semmelweis began to study this phenomenon, and after months of observation, began to realize that the midwives were washing their hands following each procedure, and the medical doctors were not. Now, while this seems like common sense in our world of antibacterial soap and washing our hands 100 times a day, for Dr. Semmelweis, this was before the discovery of harmful effects of bacteria. We're talking before Louis Pasteur and before Joseph Lister. And from his research, Dr. Semmelweis ordered all of the attendants in obstetrics to thoroughly wash their hands when going from one patient to another. And when they did, the rate of infection in that Viennese hospital plummeted from as high as 16% to as low as 2%. Dr. Semmelweis' findings were one of the great discoveries in the history of modern medicine. So why don't we know his name? Well, when he published his findings, many of his colleagues across Europe discredited him. The attendants at the hospital resented the fact that they had to wash their hands. His contract was not renewed, and he was forced to leave Vienna. And the rejection eventually led to a breakdown and death at the hands of the guards in the asylum that he was committed to 14 days after his arrival. It took another 20 or more years and hundreds, if not thousands, of women dying and suffering needlessly because no one was willing to listen to the truth. You know, that's often how it is with truth bearers. Truth bearers are often hard to listen to. They tend to be liberating. They tend to set us free. They tend to change the way that we lead our lives. But they're hard people to listen to. Think about some examples of truth bearers through the years. Copernicus, a great astronomer of the 15th and 16th century, suggested to the world that the Earth was not the center of the solar system. And he was ridiculed and he was banned from the church. Abraham Lincoln believed that the institution of slavery should not spread throughout the land, and he held to this truth in his fierce debates with William Douglas. And he was assassinated just following the Civil War. Susan B. Anthony approached the Men's Christian Temperance Union and asked to be a member, and she was denied. She started the Women's Temperance Union, and she led the movement for women's suffrage, but she was often booed off the stage. Martin Luther King Jr. was beaten and thrown into prison for advocating equal rights for all people. He, too, was assassinated. In Scripture, Moses tells Pharaoh, "You can't keep God's people in slavery. Let my people go," said Moses. And he was laughed out of Pharaoh's courts. Isaiah warns the people of Israel that they're heading down the road to the path of destruction. And the people of Israel basically tell Isaiah that he's a silly man. John the Baptist stands on the steps of Herod's palace, condemning the ruler for taking the wife of his brother, and John loses his head for it. Two friends sit together, and it's clear that one has a problem and that one is in need of help. And the conversation comes to a screeching halt, and phone calls are not returned, and friendships are broken. The truth is hard to listen to. And this morning's passage is one that I've probably read many times throughout my life, but it's one that I have to say that I haven't listened to ever. And in the middle of this passage, there's a lot of truth. We find ourselves in a conversation between some Pharisees and Jesus, and the Pharisees are trying to get Jesus to listen to them. They have some truth that they need to tell Jesus. They know things aren't going to go well for him if he heads to Jerusalem, if he plans on making this triumphant entry. If you want to survive the week, Jesus, maybe it would be a good idea for you to take a little cruise on the Mediterranean. The truth is, Jesus, Herod wants to kill you. To which Jesus responds, "Go and tell that fox." In other words, if Herod thinks that he's all that smart and sly and crafty, let him know that I'm not afraid of him. There are some things that are more important than this. There's some things that are more important than Herod. Listen. Listen to what I am doing. Listen to the truth. I'm casting out demons. I'm performing cures. I'm going to go and do this for the next few days, and then I'll stop. And then I will go to Jerusalem, and I will deal with Herod. And what Jesus is saying is that he's not afraid in any way or shape or form of Herod or the great empire that he represents. He's not afraid of the road that lies ahead because he's listening to the cries of the people. He says later that if he quiets the people, that even the stones will cry out. There's more important work to be done. There is a greater truth. Who cares about leaders and rulers and threats? If the truth is that there are people that are hungry, that are sick, that are hurting, that are dying needlessly, who cares about these rulers if there are people who need healing? There are greater truths in our world. There are things that are more important than Herod. And this is what Jesus tells the Pharisees to listen to. It is hard to hear the truth. It is hard to stand up to threats on your life when somebody very powerful is conspiring to make your life difficult. It's hard to know that Jesus is right about helping others, even in the face of his own potential destruction. It is hard to do what is right in the face of threats. And in the face of these threats, Jesus turns to his disciples and tells them to listen. Have you ever thought about that word, listen? It's one of the most common exhortations that Jesus used in his ministry. He always seems to be asking us to listen. To those who have ears, listen. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts upon them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rocks. Pay attention to what you listen to. To the Pharisees who are complaining about the Palm Sunday crowds, Jesus says, "Are you listening to what they are saying?" When Jesus is transfigured before the disciples, a voice from heaven comes down and says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus says to Pilate later in the week, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Have you ever wondered if there might not be a more necessary word in our time than the word listen? With social media and electronics where we can talk without even speaking, isn't it interesting that the man who stands before the Pharisees and Herod and Pilate says to each one of them to just listen? Listen to those who are of the truth. Listen to me. But it's so hard. With cell phones and texts and Twitter, with Facebook and emails, Jesus basically asks us to be quiet. I don't think it's coincidence that if you would rearrange the letters of the word listen, that you would come up with the word silent. We need some silence in our lives in order to listen. Soren Kierkegaard, the great 16th century Danish philosopher and theologian, 16th century, said once, "The present state of the world and the whole of life is diseased. If I were a doctor and were asked for my advice, I should reply, create silence." Create silence. So you can resonate with the struggle of the Pharisees in warning Jesus. You can understand that they actually wanted to help him out, to heed their warning, that Jesus should listen to them. They knew what the news stories and the tweets from Jerusalem were telling them, and they wanted Jesus to listen until they stopped. And they had to listen to what Jesus said. Because if we are silent, this Jesus of Nazareth will speak to us. And he will speak not just the truth that we want to hear, not just the truth that's going to solidify our own opinions and positions, not just the truth that we think that everybody else needs to hear, but the truth that Jesus needs to speak to us. It's hard, isn't it? Let's be honest, it's hard to listen. It is hard to sit still and to listen, to open ourselves up to new teachings, to realize that we are so often missing the point. You see, that's the crazy thing about this invitation from Jesus. We're given the opportunity to have this relationship with Jesus, but in order to do that, we need to create some silence and just listen. And we say, but, and Jesus says, no, listen. But you know, I've got a presentation, I got to make it work tomorrow. Listen. But you see, I'm already a student of the Bible. Listen. But I've already got a plan for my life. I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative. I know what works and I know what doesn't work. I'm retired, I'm in line for a promotion. I've already planned my life. Listen, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And the thing about this listening is that Jesus comes to us in the same way that he comes to Pilate and the Pharisees and Herod and the disciples. He comes to us in a way that we can always turn him down. He doesn't force his way in. He doesn't demand an audience. He just appears to us a little bit roughed up from the world and asks us to listen. You know, today begins a week on the church calendar known as Holy Week. And in the next 8 days, counting today, we will walk with Jesus, remembering his entry into Jerusalem until 8 days from now when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I wonder what it would be like if we were to try to do something as a congregation during this week. If we could commit to listening to the words of Jesus as they are written in the Gospel of Matthew. If we could take one chapter a day, beginning in Matthew 21 with the entry into Jerusalem, and reading a chapter a day for the next week, listening to what Jesus has to say to us. Read the chapter, take a couple of minutes, think about what's happening, think about what Jesus is teaching you, listen to the words of Jesus. One chapter a day for 8 days. Can we do that? If you don't have a Bible, take one from the pew, borrow it for the week, download the app on your phone, they're free. And with each chapter that we open, let us just say each day before we read it, Lord, I want you to talk to me. I want you to say something to me that I need to hear. Lord, I want to listen to you. And then read the chapter. And be still. And ponder what Jesus has to say to you. Think about what you've read. Sit still. And listen. Listen to what Jesus has done for you. Listen for the Word of God. Listen. Amen.